We saw Kyle Dowdy's dad at the game on Wednesday. Yeah. He was wearing a Kyle Dowdy jersey, and I was like, there's no way that is a typical Rangers fan that's not related to Kyle Dowdy.
How'd you find out it was his dad?
You know, because he was an older guy and he was wearing Kyle Dowdy's jersey.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Can I Get a Podcast? It is Friday, May 3rd. We are at the Cumulus Studios, the beautiful Cumulus Studios.
Oh, yes.
I might add.
Beautiful Prod 3.
Yes. I am Jeffrey Cooperstein. That is Chris Gross. Chris, what's up, man? How was your week?
Hey, it's good. It's Friday. Looking forward to a great Friday evening of sports and a great weekend of sports.
Absolutely. There is a lot of things going on in DFW right now. You have the Rangers. You have the Stars in the playoffs, and that's really what we're going to touch on today mostly. We'll just get into the Stars here first. Series tied up 2-2, game 5 tonight if you're listening on Friday at 8:30. And Chris, this has been an absolute knockdown, drag out, just battle of a series that everyone thought it would be.
Yeah, I'm impressed with the Stars, especially how they played on Wednesday night. It was a game coming out where I went in thinking at the end of the evening they were going to be down 3-1 heading back to St. Louis.
I didn't think that.
And instead, they came out right from the start, punched St. Louis in the mouth, and you end up scoring all these goals. You get inside the head of the Blues goalie. It's like...
Yeah, that was a crazy situation.
I think that just kind of defines this series, where it's chippy, but it's playoff hockey. That's kind of what I feel like playoff hockey is.
Absolutely. And, well, even when the Stars started out really well, like the first 4 minutes of the game, and then the Blues end up scoring the first goal on the power play. I wasn't worried at all that the Stars were going to just fall down and lose, because that's just not what they do.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, basically, the series have been pretty identical. You know, they were down 2-1. They had to win game 4 to even up the series. Now they have to go back on the road in a game 5, which basically, I think whoever wins game 5 has, you know, the clear advantage to win the series.
Dude, I even forgot that game was ended up being such like a blowout. I forgot that St. Louis scored the first goal.
Yeah.
Like, I was listening to Jam Session earlier that day, and Matt McLaren was spewing out the stats about how bad the Stars were when they allowed the first goal, and reverse, how good they were at home. They had won like 18 of the 22 games or something where they'd scored first at home. And so immediately right off the bat, you're like, oh man, this isn't good. And then the game just like completely turns around. Like, I straight up, the way it felt for most of the game, I totally forgot that St. Louis scored the first goal. It didn't even feel like that at all.
For me, when they scored the first goal, I thought because the Stars were playing so well, I wasn't concerned at all that it was going to get out of hand for them.
Yeah.
But the weird thing about it, so in the entire season series, which I think is now 10 games, that was the first lead change they had had in the entire series, regular season and playoffs.
It was something like, what, like 400 minutes
yeah,
or something?
It was crazy. Yeah, it was whoever scored the first goal won every game. So that was pretty insane. An absolutely massive game tonight. The Stars are a pretty good road team, and they have a really good goalie, so I feel pretty confident going in, but you never know what can happen.
Yeah.
It is the playoffs.
Yeah, looking at Wednesday, it was interesting. That was the first time all playoffs where the Blues had lost on the road. They were undefeated in road games coming into that one, and you're our hockey guy here, so I'm going to ask you this question. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. We're talking Stars. They made a line change on the first line, Montgomery did, going into Wednesday, right? What did you see that affected the game? If it did, why was that such a big change for the Stars?
The wingers just needed somebody different to play with. I felt like it was getting a little stale, and I think Montgomery saw that too. So when you flip the centers, you put Hintz up with Ben and Radulov, and you put Sagan down with Dickinson and Zuccarello. I think it just gave them some fresh blood, and it, you know, you always want to impress your new friends. You always want to impress your new line mates. And so I think that flip-flop worked really well. That was the best 5-on-5 they had played all playoffs. They hadn't been very good 5-on-5 in this entire playoffs. They really relied on their special teams, but they dominated the 5-on-5 game. That's why they won.
Yeah, and that's something I thought was going to be big going into that game, because that was something Montgomery had said at least once, probably twice during the series so far, is how in all other aspects of the game, they were the better team.
Absolutely.
But in just the 5-on-5, you didn't have any kind of penalties, nothing. He said that that's where they needed to improve. And look, if they can be the better team in the 5-on-5, they win the series. Like, there's no question.
There's no doubt. And, you know, the key tonight is just to not get, like, this is super cliche, but not get too high, not get too low. Don't let the, you know, the antics of Binnington last game carry over to game 5. Just make sure it's a completely new slate. Make sure you're, you know, you're playing smart because you are on the road.
So I'm trying to think now. The Stars have won 3 road games so far in the playoffs. Is that correct?
They won game 1 in Nashville and game 5 in Nashville.
And then you won.
And then you won game
2. Yeah, game two
in this series. Yes.
So to me, that gives me a little bit of confidence.
Oh,
that you're not going on the road saying, like, we're looking to do something we've not done or have only done once so far in the playoffs.
I said this on Twitter earlier in the series. The home ice advantage in hockey means less than in any other sport, especially when these teams are so evenly matched.
Yeah.
Yes, it's nice to play in front of your fans, but, you know, the ice is 200 feet by 85 feet, and it's the same game. You know, the home advantage isn't like in football where it's an absolutely ridiculously hostile environment and you just can't hear anything.
I will say, from what I've heard and from what I've seen on TV, it does look like it's been just absolutely bonkers at the American Airlines Center for these
home
games.
Oh, man, it has been so fun.
Yeah.
I went to both of the home playoff games. I'm going to go on Sunday. It's amazing. There's nothing like playoff hockey. Yeah, I mean, I grew up when the Stars were arguably the best regular season team in the Western Conference, and they made the playoffs every year. The building was electric, and we haven't had that around here lately. And so, yeah, coming back is pretty awesome, and I hope that it's not over yet.
Looking at bigger picture, didn't all of the lower seeds win in the first round?
Yes, all the division winners in the NHL lost in the first round
of
the playoffs.
So what that says to me is you don't have as strong of a field moving forward as you might have expected coming into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
I don't know if that's necessarily true. I think there's more parity in the league than anything because, I mean, the best regular season team in history, the Lightning, got swept in the first round, and that team, Columbus, is, you know, right there with Boston in the second round looking to make it to the conference finals.
But I guess the way I look at it is if you're the Stars, you know you're not going to have to face a top seed or a top 2 seed or whatever in the playoffs going forward. To me, if not an actual making it easier on the ice, I think that gives you a better mental game going forward.
I mean, maybe, but I mean, San Jose and Colorado are still 2 really good teams. I don't want to look forward to them yet because they still have to win 2 more against the Blues. But I mean, those are 2 really solid teams, and in hockey, you're separated by so little. The teams are just separated by so little. So I think the parity is there. I don't think it's a weaker field. I think it's a different field.
What about Bennington's punch to Sagan? Right, he punched Jamie Benn, and then he chopped.
He chopped Bishop
on his way out. What are your thoughts?
Bennington has a history of being a little edgy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw this, but
we saw the footage of him from the
in
AHL.
The minor league against.
It was the Texas Stars.
Yes, it was against the Texas Stars. Threw quite a few punches and got the crowd riled up there. It's playoff hockey. It's a little dirty. I think it all started when David Perron slashed Ben Bishop in the back, and the refs didn't call it. So I think Jamie Benn kind of gave Bennington a little spear. As a retaliation, and then Bennington threw a nice little left hook, which was called a penalty, and then as he's skating off the ice, gives Ben Bishop a little love tap. I think he was just, he was just trying to be an agitator, which, I mean, the slash was a little dirty. Luckily, it didn't hit him. But, the Stars didn't let that affect him, and they still won the game, and they moved on from it.
Before we get out of here, I'm going to ask you, since this will be played on the Pod Hour on 103.3 FM ESPN. I'm not going to ask you for a prediction for the Friday night game because it will have already passed. Give me your series prediction. What do the Stars end up doing in this series?
The Stars are going to win this series.
How many games?
It depends.
Yeah.
If I think they win Sunday regardless.
Okay.
So if they win Friday, the series is ending Sunday here in Dallas. If they win, if they lose Friday, the series will end Tuesday in St. Louis with the Stars being the winner.
I like the prediction.
Thank you. What about you?
I can't make a I'll go Stars in seven.
Nice.
Just because I've been roped into the series.
That's like, good. Like I'm glad you said you weren't going to watch till the conference finals, and now you're watching. So I'm very happy about that.
You know what? It's not that I've said, okay, this is something I need to watch. It's been like, hey, I'm actually interested in watching. And when you score, like what they were doing, where you scored, I think, four goals in the first two periods.
They scored, and they were beautiful goals too.
It's that ropes me in. Like a one nothing hockey game, not really going to rope me in, but. When you're scoring and scoring, that kind of stuff is going to bring me. So I'll go Stars in seven. I think they advance in seven.
I'll say this. If you've ever been to a big college football game where the teams are about to come out and they're playing hype videos and the team comes out and the fight song's going and you just like want to run through a wall? Have you ever had that feeling before?
Yeah.
So like when the Stars come out and they play the Dallas Stars song and you hear that first like doom, doom, two drum beats or whatever. You really want to run through a wall and punch somebody in the face.
The place goes wild.
It's
crazy. Does it turn into like a green mosh pit over there at the AAC?
There are a good amount of Blues fans there too, which is, you know, kind of sucks. But yeah.
That's sad.
That's all right though. It's a great atmosphere.
All right, Jeffrey.
Cool.
It's going to be, I think by the time we talk next, we will be talking about the Stars advancing past the series and moving to the Western Conference Finals.
For the first time since 2008.
Is that what it's called, the Western Conference
Finals?
It is. Okay. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
I have faith in the Stars.
That's good to know. Me too.
Don't tell Steve Dennis I'm rooting for them.
Yeah, we don't want to tell Steve Dennis we're rooting for him by any means.
But I am rooting for the Stars. All right. We've got to talk about, that's a team that's doing well in the Metroplex. A team that as of late has been hot and then cold. It's the Rangers. Let's talk about the Texas Rangers next here on Can I Get a Podcast.
Cool.
Welcome back. Can I Get a Podcast? He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. Had a lively discussion about the Stars. I don't think it's going to be as lively when we talk about the Texas Rangers.
I would tend to doubt it, unless we're talking about Joey Gallo, because I could talk about Joey Gallo all day.
Yeah, or if we're talking about, like, it's a shame we didn't do the podcast after the weekend where you put up 29 runs in 2 days against the Mariners.
Unfortunately, that's just not how things work.
Yeah, unfortunately, things are more fresh. They come home, get swept in a two-game series by the Pirates. I want to talk a little bit about Joey Gallo, and I want to talk about Jose Leclerc, who to me is an issue. But just first off, I don't know what to make of this team. Like, usually by this time into May, okay, what's your take on the Texas Rangers?
They have played at an unsustainable pace. As we sit right now, they're 14-15. If you told me they were 14-15 on May 3rd, I would have been like, oh my God, yes.
Yeah.
Their pitching is so bad. It is, you know, it's just as we thought it was going to be. Drew Smyly, whoa, big acquisition. He's coming back off the DL. Just kidding. They just don't have the starting pitching to sustain what their offense is bringing to the table.
Yeah, Mike Minor has by far been the ace of the staff.
Which we knew coming in.
And Mike Minor has pitched well. Outside of that, no, it's not good. You get Shelby Miller, who once you get past the third inning, it's almost like we're just going to go ahead and preemptively take him out.
So I did the doubleheader on Wednesday. I went to the Rangers game and the Stars game.
Yeah.
Went to the Rangers game with some of my buddies. I gave him an over-under on 2 2/3 innings of Shelby Miller.
Oh, man.
And after he got through three pretty easily with, you know, like relative ease, we were like, oh, this might be a decent outing. No, he fell apart.
It's a shame, too, because it did look like on Wednesday afternoon against the Pirates, watching those first three innings, you were like, okay, maybe he's going to take a turn, and maybe this is a good, we're going to see a good outing. He's going to turn things around. I mean, he hadn't been able, it was either all of his starts or his last like three or four. He hasn't gotten out of the fourth inning. So you knew like, okay, we're going into dangerous territory here. What are we going to do? And you think at first, okay, maybe he's going to be able to turn things around. He doesn't. You're right. We kind of know who these starting pitchers are, but to me, just the randomness of who you're going to turn it over into in the bullpen.
Yeah, I mean, I like the idea of not having defined roles, but they are taking it to an extreme right now where you have no idea who's, excuse me, you have no idea who's coming out, and you have no idea when they come out what they're going to give you.
And it's, I feel like that's harder on the guys, where I'm with you. I am not in favor of us saying, okay, if our starter gives us six, if you're rested, you're our seventh inning guy.
Yeah, I'm not in favor of that.
But you do kind of, I think the benefit of that is kind of knowing, okay, if you're, you know, a whoever, a Jose Leclerc or anybody, you kind of know, hey, coming into the situation, I kind of know what I'm going to do. I'm going to come in this situation. You kind of have that mindset. And yeah, I think not having any kind of role is making it a little difficult. It's like, okay, now I need to get warmed up.
But the reason the Rangers can't do that is because they don't have enough talented arms to do it.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, I don't. It's like when you throw Kyle Doughty out there. It's like,
who is Kyle Doughty?
Yeah.
We saw Kyle Doughty's dad at the game on Wednesday. Yeah. He was wearing a Kyle Doughty jersey, and I was like, there's no way that is a typical Rangers fan that's not related to Kyle Doughty.
How'd you find out it was his dad?
You know, because he was an older guy and he was wearing Kyle Doughty's jersey.
I think that's about a 99% certainty.
Yep, absolutely.
No one else would wear a Kyle Doughty
jersey.
That's right. Speaking of bullpen issues, Jose Leclerc to me,
oh man,
very worrisome.
It's very unfortunate. They signed him to that contract, and basically he had a couple of really good outings, you know, to start the season.
Yeah.
But since then, he can't get it over the plate. And that was the big knock on him when he was coming up through the minor league system, was that he had no command. And, you know, that's showing right now. He's really struggling.
Yeah, the command is an issue with Jose Leclerc. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross, talking Rangers here on Can I Get a Podcast. What makes it worse is when you have command issues and you're also dealing with what I can assume he's dealing with are these mental issues of you're worried about the contract. You're worried about not being the closer. You have all these things piling on top of you're in a rut right now. It's not good to me. You want, the comments by the manager were strong about saying he wasn't going to, you know, he didn't say he was pulling him out of the closer role, but he was like, we're going to look into it. I don't know if I make those comments, but you definitely want to try and get this guy some non-pressure situations.
I mean,
one of the Mariners games.
Yes, got him in a no-pressure situation, and he was average at best. I mean, he needs to find the plate. That's what it comes down to. If you're going to be a major league pitcher, you just need to find the plate. If you have great stuff, that's fine, but if you're not throwing it, you know, in places where guys are going to swing and miss or guys are going to make weak contact, then what's the point?
He's currently got a whip over 2.
Ooh.
Which is not good.
That is not good at all.
A war of negative 0.3.
That's horrible.
Yeah. So to have negative war, for those of you who aren't stat heads out there, war basically says that's how many wins you provide over a replacement player. That means you're actually taking wins away. You'd be better to have an average guy in there throwing the ball, which is not good after you just gave this guy a contract.
Yeah, and the thing about when Leclerc is on, like, he is one of the dirtiest relievers in baseball. He just needs to find that again. And it's so weird. Since, like, 2015, the Rangers have had such huge problems finding closers. Sean Tolleson was great in 2015. Comes out the first, you know, month of 2016. They had to designate him for assignment because he sucked so bad. Then they moved Sam Dyson. Sam Dyson was great in 2016. Made the All-Star team, I believe, closed the game for the American League in the All-Star game. They had to designate him at the beginning of 2017. Then they tried to bring Neftali Feliz back into that role, and it was, that was back in 2015. But still, I mean, they've tried so many different things at the closer role, and they can't find it. They had Keone Kella. They traded him away, you know?
Sam Dyson, he was the closer in the World Classic, right?
Yes, he was the closer for the World Classic.
And he pitched well, and then he gets to the Rangers, and you're like,
and
what's
going on? Yeah, we have no idea.
It is weird. The Rangers have always been such an offensive team, like, throughout their history, and it's been an issue finding pitching, and especially as of late, like, World Series years on,
you've had
an issue with the closer.
The years you had good rotations were the years they won the division.
Yeah.
You had Cliff Lee, you know, in 2010, and then you had guys in 2011 like CJ Wilson. And then in 15, 16, you had Hamels, you had Darvish, and you had Martin Perez when he wasn't completely worthless. And
before the bull incident.
Yes, before the bull incident, before he slammed a hotel door on his finger and all that kind of stuff. So
this was a question that came up on the Rangers postgame show with Mike Peasley on Wednesday.
Mike Black-Eyed Peasley?
Mike Black-Eyed Peasley asked the question, and I'll just ask it to you. Are you more worried about Jose Leclerc or Rougned Odor?
Oh, Odor. I think I'm more worried about Odor. It's so disappointing, too, because he made such strides last year in his approach and whatnot, but it seems like he's just, all that has gone out the window, and he's completely reverted back to what he was in 17, which is the worst starting major league player.
It's
so unfortunate.
Yeah, and Woodward's got to move him down in the lineup. I mean,
He was hitting second on Wednesday. That's just ridiculous.
You don't need that there.
The stat gurus, the metric guys will tell you that the second place in the lineup is the most important place in the lineup.
That's not where you need your guy who has the lowest OPS on the team and I believe has one home run on the season.
That ain't it, Chief.
There was one more thing I was going to ask you, but now I can't remember. So I guess we'll move on.
Cool.
Just get better, Rangers. Like it's
please.
It's like the Stars. It's just better to watch when they're doing well.
Well, I mean, when it's like July 22nd and they're like 20 games under, it is the worst.
I thought things were going well. Remember the first two series?
Sure.
And then you were like 2 weeks in and you were only a couple games out of the division.
You're like, huh?
We should have known that wasn't going to last.
We were naive.
We were naive, but that's just the Rangers fan, I guess, inside us that was hopeful.
Don't tell Steve Dennis.
Yeah, don't tell Steve Dennis. All right, Jeffrey, it's time to close things out on the podcast. We do it like we always do. It is the 24-second shot clock. You get 24 seconds to talk about whatever you want, and then whenever you hear that buzzer, you move on to the other person. Jeffrey, I'm going to take it here first.
Go for it.
And I just want to brag on my wife a little bit, who's an awesome cook.
Yes, she is.
And
I don't know, but she is.
It's been great because she's been home with the baby on maternity leave, and so she's been making me dinners a lot lately that I've been taking to work, and she recently started making chicken tenders,
ooh,
which is awesome. Like, I brought, like, a whole Tupperware, like, it was probably, like, 18 chicken nuggets that I brought the other day and ate them all.
You said they were tenders.
Well, they kind of came out as nuggets.
Okay.
But I just wanted to brag on Ashley's cooking, because it's great.
I want to try Ashley's cooking.
I'll bring, you know what, next time she makes tenders / nuggets, I will bring you some.
Okay.
It was good.
Sounds good.
All right, Jeffrey, your 24 seconds begin now.
Why do people in Dallas not know how to drive when water comes down from the sky? It is incredible. Even if it's like a absolute torrential rainstorm like a monsoon, it's okay to go the speed limit. That's fine. But when it starts drizzling and people are going like 40 miles an hour on the highway, I have a lot of road rage, Chris, and it makes me very, very angry.
I think a lot of people in Dallas especially don't know how to drive to begin with, and then you add in dangerous conditions.
I'd be the first to admit I'm not the world's greatest driver by any means. I like to get places fast rather than safe, but learn how to drive, dude.
Yeah, it's really when it's drizzling. Although they do say when it's drizzling, that's when it's the most dangerous.
Is that what they say?
Yeah, because that's when it first starts raining, it's when the water mixes with the oil on the road, and that's what makes you hydroplane. When it's really pouring, it kind of, I guess, meshes that all out. So actually, now that I think about it, I think it's actually Dallas drivers being safe, because when it's lightly raining is when it's most dangerous.
Well, when Pete says it's going to be the end of the world and it's the worst thunderstorm of all time and we get like 0.01 inches of rain and everyone just doesn't know what to do. Side note, I love Pete on Twitter, by the way. People give him so much crap and he just gives it back to them. He's like, oh, you forecasted it was going to pour and there was 0.1 inches. Why? What happened? He goes, ha, ha, ha. I don't predict. He's like, I don't control the weather. I just show it to you.
Yeah, I'm being a weatherman, like, and having to deal with that stuff. I'm glad that's not me.
Yeah, same.
Seems like you get a lot of flack for obviously something you can't
control. So did you know Pete used to be a minor league baseball player?
No.
He was a minor league baseball player, and my friend Grant, friend of the show, has Pete Delkis's minor league baseball card.
Grant, send in a picture on Twitter. Send it to Jeffrey so he can share it.
Okay.
Yeah, do that. I want to say before we get out of here, a big thank you to Taylor Phillips for having me on his Rangers Wrap-Up podcast.
Oh, you were on it. Very cool.
I was on the Rangers Wrap-Up podcast. Please go listen to that. It's on KESN1033.com/podcast. We had a really cool conversation about baseball stadiums, ones we want to go to, how me talking about how upset I am with how new baseball stadiums look versus the old one.
I'll give it a listen.
It was fun. We also talked about a story about cops basically being fired because of CC Sabathia.
Huh.
Yeah, so
okay.
Go check that out. Speaking of KESN1033.com/podcast, that's where you can find this podcast. Go check it out, as well as our other podcasts. Kevin Correa's Free to Play podcast. He was at... Also known as Timothy Zane.
Thank you.
He was at the first Overwatch League home match ever this past weekend. And he just made a podcast about his adventure out there, played some sound. Really cool stuff, the Free to Play podcast. You can hear all that on the Pod Hour, 103.3 FM, ESPN Saturdays from 2 to 3. So if you're listening before Saturday, May 4th at 2 o'clock, get over to 103.3 FM ESPN. You can listen to a portion of this podcast there. You can find us, KESN1033.com/podcast, as well as on Apple Podcast. Jeffrey, being on Taylor's podcast is a great way to spread the word about Can I Get a Podcast. But what are some other good ways?
Tell the people you're sitting next to at the Stars game on Sunday. That I will, no doubt. Those people will tell their friends, which, and in turn, that will tell 18,532 people about our podcast, because that is the capacity for hockey at the American Airlines Center.
And it's like the Wave, but with podcast information.
That's right. But Chris, we all know who the most important person to tell is. You tell the people.
It's your ex-wife.
Yep.
You got to tell your ex-wife.
Yep.
Jeffrey, it's been fun.
Always.
We'll be back next week talking about a Stars series victory over the Blues.
That's right.
Right here on Can I Get a Podcast.
Okay, thanks.